big table spread. It's all kinds of things on it. Whatever we need, He has spread the table and opened the door. We don't have to ask Him to come. He's came. We don't ask Him to invade our presence. We receive His presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I welcome today. Also, I want to just give a thank you to all of those that join us throughout the week through the internet. I take these messages and put them on our page, and you can go back for numerous years and still be in that service. That's awesome to me. But there are a lot of people that you guys don't know. You don't know this, but I do because I put them up there on the internet. There's a lot of people attend this church that have never stepped in the door and never will. They can't. They might be in some other country or whatever. But those numbers are getting stronger and stronger. And I just welcome them, because whether they're receiving this message today or tomorrow or 10 years down the road or across or around the world, wherever it is, the awesome time we live in, wherever they're receiving it, it's alive to them and fresh to them. And I thank you so much for joining us today, whoever you are and wherever you are. And we're happy that you're here with us. We're going to talk today about a subject that we all need, whether we know it or not. We're going to talk about a renewed mind. Or another title would be becoming spiritually minded. You know, in order to become spiritually minded, the first step is becoming born again, because you cannot be spiritually minded any other way. There is no other way. You have to have life in your spirit. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to take it for granted here that everybody here is born again. And as you read the Bible, actually the whole entire Bible was written to God's people. You know, God separated out a group for Himself. Even in the Old Testament, He separated out a certain people, and he wrote through Moses and through the other prophets. He wrote the Old Testament to His people. Now, the world is mentioned in there, but the book itself was written to His people, for His people to grow. The New Testament is post-cross. Okay, so that every epistle that we read, everything in there really is written to the church. It's written to born-again people. So many of us, though, when we read the Bible, we think that this is talking to the unsaved. But really, it's not. It's talking to the saved, because we can walk in our carnal nature as well as in our spiritual nature, even though we're born again. And some of us don't realize that. So we're going to take a look at what it means to be spiritually minded, to become spiritually minded today, or to have a renewed mind. You know, we get born again, and Jesus said, you cannot even come into the kingdom of God at all without being born again. There is no other way. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You know, and that's an absolute truth. So if you're born of the flesh, your spirit's not alive, so you cannot become spiritually minded. But when you get born again, there's life in your spirit, so now you can become spiritually minded. And we think, a lot of us, we get born again and say, okay, well, I'm spiritually minded. Not really. You can be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, loving God every moment of your life, but be totally, absolutely carnally minded and walk in the law of sin and death. You can do that. And most people don't realize that. They'll think, I'm born again, so that's all there is. No, that's just the step in the door. You know, you get in there, and now there's more that you have to keep walking after you step in that. But you think, well, everybody knows that. No, they don't. If they did know it, the church would look totally different. You wouldn't have the factions that you have in the churches. You wouldn't have the divisions and denominational issues and the other problems of cliques and all of that. You wouldn't have that in there if they knew that they're not spiritually minded yet. They're born again, filled with the Spirit, because God's living there. They're not baptized in the Spirit, but they're filled with the Spirit because God's alive in that man. He's alive. But they're not spiritually minded. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but you can walk in the Spirit in this moment and be spiritually minded, and in the very next moment be carnally minded. Thank God that he gives us a way out of that. But when we look at the world, they can't live any other way because they're not born again. There's no life in their spirit. But many of us don't realize that. I've jumped way ahead. But in Romans chapter 2, verse 12, chapter 2, but some of these will be New King James, others Amplified. This is a New King James. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, who's that written to? That's written to the church, not to the world. It's written to the church. So I'm born again, but I got to be transformed. My spirit's alive, and it's been separated from darkness into light, but my mind is not renewed. I have to be transformed. Transform is an ongoing process. It's never finished. As long as you're living in this world, you need to daily, moment by moment, decision by decision, be spiritually minded. And if you don't know that, if you don't realize there's a difference between the two, you'll walk in your carnal nature all the time and blame God for your problems. And it's not God's fault. And we need to know that. Pastor taught an excellent sermon last week, and he mentioned, how big is your spirit man? A little thin, emaciated thing, or bigger than your body? Well, we're supposed to be bigger than our body. That's normal for the Christian. Our spirit man's supposed to be alive. It's not restricted to our body. There's no restrictions on how big I can get in the spirit, but there is a restriction on how big my mind can get, especially if I'm not spiritually minded. But if I'm spiritually minded, there's no limits. There is no such thing as a person who cannot walk in the spirit if he's born again. There's no such thing as limiting that person because of his education, his race, his color, his creed, his whether he's crippled or not crippled, old or young, in the nursing home or in the hospital. None of that is a restriction to the spirit. If you're spiritually minded, there's no restrictions there. There is to your body. The spirit man never gets old, but our body does. And if we're going to have life in our spirit and have it, our body renewed, our spirit has to be alive. Romans 8:11 says that our spirit man will even bring life to our short-lived mortal body. There's life. That's what Proverbs 4:20 talks about. The issues of the life, the issues of life are from the spirit. They flow from the spirit in Proverbs 4:20 and following. So we need to know these things. Okay, Romans 8, 5, and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Again, he's not talking to the unborn again. He's talking to those that are born again. If I am making my decisions according to the flesh, then I reap the flesh's results. It's not God's fault if I'm reaping that. It's my fault. I'm carnally minded. But if I walk by the Spirit, I reap the things of the Spirit. My decision, not God's. We, not God, determine whether we are spiritually minded or carnally minded. And you say, well, everybody knows that. No, they don't. Like I said, if we knew that, our families, our churches, our business, all would be completely different. We don't know that. We think we do, and we'll even read it in the Bible and say, yes, amen. But God's been on me a lot lately, as my wife can tell you. If you know that, why are you not living it? Now, I need to ask myself that question. And it's hard on a teacher or a preacher or those who minister the word because I can't tell you how many times I went over this because it's changed 3 different times. But I can't say I don't know it. I've been in the word. I've seen it. But has it made its trip from my head to my heart? Am I spiritually minded or carnally minded? That's a decision. We would like to think I'm one way or the other all the time, but I'm not. That changes with my decisions I make moment by moment. I need to know that. And it's sad we don't. And the number one thing, and I mentioned this last time I ministered because I talked about a new beginning last time, and this is kind of related to that, but I talked about Deuteronomy 30 in a little bit of detail. I'm not going to today, but I'm going to mention one verse. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, the Amplified says, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore, choose life. So we see that life is involved. Choice is involved. If I'm going to walk in life, I got to choose life. That whole verse is talking about being carnally minded or spiritually minded. Now, again, who is it written to? It's written to God's people. Those he separated out. He's talking covenant here with his people. He's telling them, if you will walk in, choose life, then I'll do this. Now, he's not the author of death. So he didn't have to set death out there. What he's saying is not I'm putting it there, I'm creating it and making you have to eat one or the other. That's not what he's saying. I set before you. He's acknowledging the fact that it's present. He's acknowledging the fact that it's present and that he won't keep you from choosing that if you want it. He's setting it before you and saying it's here. It's already existing. Now, God didn't create the law of sin and death. It was created by Satan and his works at the fall. That's where it entered into man, and it's still around. And it will be for some time. We have been redeemed from that by the blood of Jesus at the cross, but we have to choose it. We get born again. We've chosen to live that freedom, to be free from the law of sin and death. Doesn't mean we can't walk in it. Again, that's my choice. And God will back my choice. And that's what he's saying here. If you choose that, they're both here available. What you choose, I will back. What you choose, if you choose life, then all of creation is witness to that. And they will yield to you because they're witness that you chose life. But if you choose death or not God's way, you choose death, then all of creation will not yield to you. What did he tell Adam? Now, because you're separated from me, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to get your food from the thorns and the thistles. They didn't have to do that before. Why? Because there's no separation from God. And that's where God wants to bring us back to that place where we're not separated from him. That's why he paid the price. But I still have to make the choice because the law of sin and death is still in force. I've just been freed from it. It doesn't mean that I can't get back into it or walk in that. That's my choice. Our loving Heavenly Father has already set life before us, but he doesn't have to set death before us. It's already there, okay? Our Heavenly Father has already set life before us, but he will not make us choose life. He paid the entire price for all of mankind, but he will not make us choose life. It is totally up to the individual as to what he will choose, spiritually minded in life or carnally minded in death. Totally up to the individual. And it's amazing to me how many people don't think about that. They'll blame God, and it's not his fault. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever, and that's a big word, whatever covers a lot of ground. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. For he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You see the choice. Again, it's written to the church. Not to the world. So I'm not sowing anything. You sow by your actions. You sow by your thoughts. You sow by your behavior patterns. You sow by the words of your mouth. Your life is a completely seed. Everywhere you go, you're tossing out seed. And you're going to reap from the process that you're sowing, no matter what it is. Now, you can change it, but you got to be spiritually minded. You can change it. That's what the washing of the water is. That's what 1 John 1, 9 is there. But God's not going to make me go there. He expects me to be spiritually minded and to step under, to bring that sin, which it is, every time I'm carnally minded in my actions, that's a sin. It's separated from God. I need to treat it that way. We're not looking at a difference between murder and spitting on the sidewalk. We're looking at separation from God or walking carnally minded. If I treat it as a sin when I'm carnally minded and I bring it to the Father, He cleanses me, it says. Let's read that in the Amplified in 1 John 1:9. I think that's my next one. No, it's not. It's down the road. But let's read it anyways. 1 John 1:9 says that if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and the Amplified says continuously. Continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to His will and purpose, thought and action, as long as I genuinely repent. He already has. But that's when I receive it. As long as I remain spiritually minded, that cleansing is continuously. It's an ongoing action. I'm always under that fountain. It's always washing me as I step. I have to stay spiritually minded. If I step out from the water, I get dirty. Stay under the water, I stay clean. That's the way it is, my choice. If we are governed by our flesh, our emotions, and our feelings, we will be carnally minded and choose death. If we are governed by the Spirit, we will be spiritually minded and choose life. In order to be spiritually minded, we have to walk the love walk. You cannot be spiritually minded and walk in your carnal nature at the same time. You have to govern your life by the Word and by love, His idea of love. That is the determining factor on whether or not you are spiritually minded. If you are going to develop your spirit man, you have to walk the love walk. There's no other way to do it. And you have to be a person of the Word, because the Word and love is what feeds your spirit. If it's going to grow, that's the way you're going to have to do it. And that doesn't mean that you just read it. It means you conform to it. You see something in the Word, whether you like it or not, that's what it says. It's absolute truth. So you conform to that. Whether you want to or not. Your want to is where? Your carnal nature. The one that's going to hurt here is your carnal nature, your fleshly, worldly nature, the one that's leads to death, the one that's carnally minded, that's the one that's not going to like that. Your spirit man is going to, he's going to love it. Oh boy, he's coming. You know, now I can do something. That's the way the spirit man is. He rejoices. And then joy comes as I step into that and I walk it. My choice. Romans 8:5. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. Notice again, it's written to the church. I got a little picture here that kind of outlines the difference between the two. The spiritual man is the one we're born again to. We're born of God. This is us. This is the way we're supposed to be. The proper order of things is spirit man, soul, and body. Now, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. That's who we are. That's the identity. That's the way we were created. Adam was spirit, soul, and body till he fell. Then he became carnally minded. He was separated from God. No life in his spirit. It was dormant. He was alive like an animal, but his spirit had no life from God. There was no connection. He was unplugged. And every man born after Adam was unplugged. There's no connection there. Because Adam got born again in reverse. He got born again from life to death. He separated from God. So everybody separated after him. Now Jesus comes along, and from that point, God was trying to get Jesus in the earth so that he could get that fixed. So even though we existed, we had no spirit connection. No life in our spirit is dormant. So when the cross came along, Jesus gave an opportunity through his own blood to be born again. When we get born again, our spirit comes alive again. So we're spirit, soul, and body again. Notice who's in rule there. The spirit has rule. Or we're love ruled. We're word ruled. We're other-centered, not self-centered. And then our soul, which is our mind, emotions, and will, that's where our mind, emotions, and will are. If we're ruled by our mind, emotions, and will, we're carnal. We're not plugged into the spirit. We're dominated by our mind, emotions, and will. But it's not supposed to be that way. Our mind, emotions, and will are supposed to be submitted to the spirit man. And then our body is submitted to that. What the mind is, really, the natural mind, it's a control center. Not really a control center. It's an information center. It's not supposed to be in control. It gathers information. That's what our emotions do. And it channels that back to the spirit man. That's the way it's supposed to operate. And then when the spirit man sees that, it communicates with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit defines that information and instructs the spirit man what the proper response is. Then that is communicated to the mind and the mind to the body. That's the proper order of things. And that's instantaneous. The carnal man does not work that way. There's no connection. Even though he's born again. The carnal man is soul ruled. Mind, emotions, and will, they rule that person. You get him any kind of emotion will rule that person. He's not spiritually minded. And that soul man, mind, emotions, and will, was not created to rule. It was created only for information. Our emotions and feelings were created for information. That's all. Like the radar, it senses what's out there, communicates it to the mind, and that goes to the spirit man. The spirit man gives it to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, this is the depths of that thing. This is what's below the surface. Do this. And the spirit man communicates to the mind, and the mind says, yes, sir, and communicates it to the body. And the body responds. The body always is a responder. It can't do anything else but respond. That's the proper order. But this soul man doesn't do that. He's ruled by his feelings and emotions. He's self-ruled. He's self-centered, selfish. And since that's all he has, he communicates that to the body, and the body responds based on the emotions. That's why you see so many crippled Christians walking around in depression and fear and worry, anger, and all these things, because they're soul ruled. That's all they see. I'm not criticizing them because a lot of them don't even know this. They're born again, but they're soul ruled. They're not spirit ruled, even though they've been born again. This carnal man can either be born again or not born again. The response is the same. And that's the sad thing, because the born again carnal Christian doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to be ruled by fear and worry and anger and all of these things. We don't have to be ruled by that. We don't have to respond to our emotions other than to be guided in some degree about what's on the surface. But that's the spirit man's job to discern that after he submits it to the Holy Spirit, to discern what's at the bottom of that. Where is the root of this thing? If I'm in proper order, that's what's happening. That's why it's so important to be spiritually minded, because we can hear the voice of the Spirit. Our spirit man is in dominance. And I have to make that decision. I have to. Nobody else can make it. I have to allow the spirit man to be in dominion in my life. If I don't, then I'm carnally minded. I cannot be both at the same time. I'm one or the other. And that's the sad thing. When we get born again, a lot of times we go to church, we don't go to the place where anything's taught, or we don't spend any time in the Word at all. We just go to church, and eventually we find out this, what's changed. I'm just like I was before. So they go back to their crowd, and they stay where they were, and blame God and say, this stuff don't work. It did work. You just didn't do anything with it. It's not the church's fault. Well, I went to that church, and they're at fault. No, they're not. You're at fault because you didn't do anything with your own Bible. And you read the Bible, but you didn't apply it. That's not God's fault. And it's really not the church's fault. It's my fault. I got my own Bible. I can read. I can study. I can meditate. That's really me. And God's holding me responsible for that. For me. If we make a wrong choice, and this is where 1 John 1:9 comes in. We already read it. But I can go to the Father. That's a moment by moment. I can make a choice now and make the opposite one the next time and then make another choice, right? But I'm subject to my now moment. I can make a change. The person that's not born again can't. It's normal for him to be that way. Why should we get upset with the world because they function that way? Because it's normal for them. They can't do anything else. It's abnormal for the world to go to church. It's abnormal for them to walk in love. They can't do it. It's abnormal. They have nothing to draw on. But for the genuinely born again man to walk in those things, that's wrong, and he's abnormal. Because we're born of love, we are love. Whether we like it or not, we're love. That's our method of response. That's being spiritually minded. That's also a holy walk. Holiness and love are the same thing. Okay? Yeah, they are. Okay, as long as I genuinely repent, our merciful Father will forgive me and cleanse me. But I need to do that. I need to be the repenter. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no adjudging of guilt of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. He didn't say he'd done away with it. It's still functioning. I'm free from it. But notice what it says. There's two qualifications. I have to be in Christ Jesus, and I have to walk after the dictates of the Spirit for there to be no condemnation. Now, God's not the one that condemns me. He doesn't judge me. Jesus said, I didn't come in to judge the world. There's one here already that does judge you, even the Word which I've spoken. The Word is the judge. The Word is judging us 24/7, 365 for our entire life. The Word of God is judging us. How we conform to that Word judges us. How we do not conform to the Word judges us. It's a moment-by-moment judgment. And that's what I read earlier about sowing and reaping. That is what that is. That's a judgment moment-by-moment because I'm sowing and I'm reaping. But if I run to the Father, He can take care of what I sowed that shouldn't have been sowed. Amen. That's awesome to me. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are spiritually minded and walk after the dictates of the Spirit. However, even though we are born again, we can still walk after the dictates of the flesh and be carnally minded and walk in the law of sin and death. Our mind is renewed by the Word of God. That's where our mind is renewed at. We walk in love. We apply the Word to our life. The level that I walk in the Spirit is directly related to the level of Word I have, to the amount of time I spend in the Word, the amount of time that I take with God. Sometimes it doesn't mean reading the Bible. It means living the Bible. It means sitting in His presence and just listening for the Holy Spirit to bring up a word to me, to quicken what I'm doing, to just listen for a guidance. That's real communion. That's real prayer. Sometimes prayer, I mentioned here one time in our elders' prayer, there's a prayer of silence. We don't realize that. That prayer of silence is when I'm listening, not talking at all. And that's hard not to do. But if you practice it, hearing his voice in certain things, he'll be in here. A word will come up. A thought will come up. A direction will come up because you're taking your time to listen to him. He's always speaking, but we don't spend much time with him. And that's the level of my spirit man's growth. The level is what I do with the word. The level is where I conform to it. The level is where I walk in love. That's as big as my spirit can get. That's as much spiritually minded as I can get. But that's not God limiting me. That's me limiting me. Okay, so I need to know that. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance and unfolding of your words gives light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. Notice discernment and comprehension. You know, I can discern something and not comprehend it. In other words, I got a basic understanding of it. I know that's what it says. But when I comprehend it, I can see the depths of it. That's why I like that particular version. But notice it not only has to enter, it has to be unfolded. The other versions just say, the entrance of thy word gives light, which is good, but this is better, okay? Because it's more than just reading the Bible. It's more than just listening to the Bible. It's got to be unfolded. Unfolding means I'm spending time with it, that verse, that scripture. I'm unfolding it and looking into the depths of it. I'm letting it drop from my head to my heart. I'm becoming spiritually minded with that scripture, with that word. And when I do that, when I meditate on it and consider that word and listen to the voice of the Spirit, light comes on it. That's revelation. I can see things that I never saw before. That's what God wants. He's not holding back revelation. We're preventing it because we don't do that. We'll sit there and we might read several chapters a day, but not listen to it. And that's good reading. I'm not saying don't do that. But I'm saying pay particular attention to what it's saying and how it applies to you. Think about it, because every word in here is for us. And God's wanting us to be spiritually minded to listen to it and conform to it once we hear it and see it. And there is no person, zero, that cannot grow. There's none that cannot grow. I only am limited by what I see and meditate. That's all. God will cause me to grow. Joshua, that's what he was saying in Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Now that means, what am I doing with it if it's not departing out of my mouth? I'm not just reading it, I'm confessing it. To come out of my mouth means I'm speaking it. Sometimes all I need to conform my spirit is to take a promise and to declare it. To speak it out loud. You're not only speaking it to yourself, well, I know it. What difference would I read it or would I speak it? Well, if you just read it, it's mental. It has a hard time getting into your spirit. Faith comes by hearing. You can't hear a word that's not spoken. So if you take that word and you declare it, you're making covenant with that word. That's the voiced word that the angels grab a hold of and work with because it's voiced. I believe it's Psalm 103, verse 20, I think. They hearken to the voice of his word. They are taking that word and holding on to it because it's spoken and I believe it. Now, I can just speak it and not believe it, and it won't work. I conform to the word, I speak it and declare it, then it brings life. It's the spoken word that brings forth life. The spoken word, I declare it. Okay, so that is the word that brings life. I open my mouth, I declare the word, I conform to it. So the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That means Joshua was instructed to take the word that he had and to speak it. That's what he was told to do. But you shall meditate on it day and night. In other words, Everything he does, he takes and filters it through the word. Because he's speaking it, it's dropping into his spirit. Because it's dropping into his spirit, he can take what's going on and filter it through that word and hear the voice of his spirit. That's what's happening here. That's what Joshua was instructed to do. And that's still in force. That instruction is to us as well as to Joshua. It worked for Joshua, it works for us. We are to speak and to declare and to conform because we believe it and we receive that action. So it shall not be part out of his, he shall meditate on it day and night. That's one thing where we miss when I was talking about unfolding the word. That's what you do. You try to put yourself in that scripture. You try to look how it applies to you. You ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your understanding. And you might go back to the same scripture months or years. We had a lady attending to our Bible study over here from another church. She'd attended several years. She'd been stuck for a year in Romans, certain chapter, because she knows there's something there. So it keeps going back there. Keeps going back there. That blesses me so much because she's doing that. Now she reads other places, but there's something there. It's feeding her somehow. And if we don't just read it once and think about it and go on to the next one, if it doesn't leave, if it's still something there, stay there. Let the Holy Spirit bring that light. There's something there for you. He's teaching you something or feeding you or preparing you for something. It's never wasted time. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and to do according to all that is written in there. So you have to do what you read. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Have not I commanded you, be strong and vigorous and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He is with us, and he is busy teaching us. If he was that way with Joshua pre-cross, when the Spirit was only upon Joshua, how much more is he with us today after the cross? When you get born again and he puts his own self in you, he will teach us how to choose. He will breathe on his word. He will bring light to us, even in a greater way than he did Joshua. Because he lives in me. There's a communion, a connection between my spirit man and the spirit. And if I will do my part, I will be spiritually minded. I will hear his voice, make decisions that others would never make. I will speak his words instead of my words. The things that look so big as problems be no big deal at all because I'm hearing the voice of the Spirit. Not because I'm this great guy, but because he is. And he's speaking and working through me, and he's guiding my steps. So I'm spiritually minded. And I won't walk in fear and worry. Notice he had to put it in the commandment to him. Because you think about Joshua. He was doing something that's not him. He was a warrior. He was not the leader. And all of a sudden, now he can't get out there on the front line and fight like he used to, being guided by Moses. Now he was the one doing the guiding. Totally foreign to what he was raised up to be. So naturally, to walk around the wall 7 times and there, don't think the Jericho wasn't doing anything. I mean, what would you do? You're going to shoot, probably shooting at them, everything else with arrows. But they're just walking. So he had to tell his men, a warrior, telling his men not to do anything, just walk. I mean, that blows my mind every time I think of that, because he had to be faithful and courageous and had meditated on that word to get to that place. And he did it. How much more should we be that way? Not looking at the circumstances, but looking through them at the Spirit and at the Word. It's our choice whether or not we spend time in the Word. The Word of God is what renews our minds. It teaches us what we are to think on. If we think the world's thoughts, we get the world's results. If we think God's thoughts, we get God's results. It's just that simple. And if I get God's thoughts on that circumstance, that situation, based on what it says in the Word, that's His thoughts about that. If I think those thoughts, then I'm going to get His results. If I see it in the Word, but I think, well, I know what the doctor said. I'm conforming to the world. I'm conforming to a lower law. I'm not allowing the higher law to function because of the evidence I have here. Whatever God says is not conformed to what's around us. It's beyond that. It's a much higher law. It's the law of creation itself. And if God's got to create a new heart, He'll do it. I've seen testimonies with that. I don't have time to go into them, but they're awesome. Well, in Philippians 4:6, we see the very first few words God says, "Do not fret or have anxiety about anything." But look at that. What does it mean to fret? Worry. To consider it. To dwell on it. To meditate. What did He tell Joshua to meditate on? Joshua was to meditate on the Word day and night and speak it. He had an opportunity to fret, to worry, and to be concerned. But those words here in Philippians 4:6 says, do not. Now, the do not is a commandment. Whenever you say do not in the Word, make it a commandment. Do not. So if you're a fretter, if you're one that worries and constantly considering what the dangers around you, and that's all you think about is how bad things are going to get, don't do that. The Word says not to do that. If I do this, if I fret and have anxiety about something, I'm carnally minded. I can't hear God. And I can pray and pray and pray and never get an answer and blame God for not answering my prayers. He did. I blocked Him. Why do you fret about something? Because you believe it's going to happen. You're preparing for that. You're preparing for the problem. You're actually, and the enemy is using you to empower that. He's deceiving you into building your own problem. So you fret on it. And you get exactly what you sowed because you fretted on it. About it. It leads to fear. And He told Joshua not to fear. That's why God had to make it a commandment to Joshua, because he didn't have the spirit within. He was functioning on a different level than what we do or should be. He didn't have that inside information that we have. We should be so much further along. And you know, some of the biggest fretters around are the church. We do. And it's worry and it's fear and it's wrong. It's carnally minded, and we will reap that unless we change it. I'm not conforming to the Word. That's why God said here through Paul, fret not. Do not have anxiety about anything. So I don't care what it is, don't fret about it. Place a guard on that. Conform to the Word and say, well, if I'm not going to fret, what am I going to do? You're going to believe. You're a believer. You're going to conform to the Word. You're going to be spiritually minded on this circumstance. Then He says, but. Now, what's but mean? It means instead. So God never puts us in a place. He doesn't ever tell us not to do something without telling us what to do. We may not want to do it, but there's always a but there if He tells you not to do something. But in every circumstance, there we're back again about talking about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, what? By prayer and petition, definite quest, request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants and known to God. It doesn't mean, by prayer, it doesn't mean you're begging God to change it. You're doing what He commanded Joshua to do, to have the Word in his mouth. You're finding the promise. You're finding what God said. And you're conforming to that. When you confess the Word of God, that's prayer. You're taking what He said and you're declaring it, not only for your sake, But that devil is hearing it too. And those angels are hearing it. And they know whether you mean business or not. When you take that word, you are as the same as God himself standing there. For it is written. That's what Jesus did. You are saying, for it is written. And that's what the scripture says. You're declaring it. That's what he's telling us to do by prayer and petition, definite request. Definite request doesn't mean you're asking God and begging God to change something. You're finding out what his word says about it, and that changes it. Okay, so you're conforming to that. You're not fretting on the problem. You're not focusing on the problem. You're focusing on the answer. There's a big difference in the two. God, please change this. Well, he already has, and he wants to, but you haven't given him much to work with, and you're not conforming to anything. And we're involved in it. We're involved in the answer. So when we take his word and declare it, we're conforming to the answer. That's where the thanksgiving comes into play. Thank you, Father, your word says. And you declare what the word says. Now I choose to believe your word. Your word is an anchor. Your word is absolute truth. It's a higher law. I know this says this. But your word says. And Father, I thank you that I have this request right now, this moment, because you said it. And whenever the problem comes up and the doubt, you start fretting, go right back there. The word says. No, I'm not doubting. The word says. The word says. And sometimes you have to do that over and over and over again to get your mind to conform to it, to become spiritually minded on that circumstance. Eventually, you'll get the idea God meant what he said. And every time you do that, that promise gets bigger, gets stronger. The harvest gets bigger. It gets closer. But every time you start fretting on the problem, you back up. Now you got to gain ground again. You see, so things take a long time sometimes because we fret and focus on the problem and not the answer. And we got to do that. We got to have help sometimes with one another. So, Philippians 4. Okay, let's read Philippians 4, 7. I didn't finish that. And when you do all of that, it says, and God's peace shall be yours. Why? Because I've done that. See, I focused on the word. I declared it. I'm spiritually minded. So what happened? Peace is the result. Because I trust God. Okay. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with the earthly love of what sort that is, ever sort that is, that peace. In other words, you're not worried about your circumstances. You're at rest in God. Which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So this kind of a decision that you make, it garrisons your mind. It garrisons your heart. You're spiritually minded. You're protecting your own mind and it protects your spirit man, your heart. Because you're conforming to the word. You're declaring it. You're making a decision by your own will. So it brings peace and rest. Because it's not by your might, but it's by the Spirit. You're conforming to the Word. Philippians 4:8 teaches us what to think on. It's telling us what to meditate on instead of the problem. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, is honorable and seemly, whatever is just and pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. In other words, you don't veer from these. This is a list for a successful prayer. It's a list of successfully being spiritually minded. It's a list of what you do in the times of problems when you want to start fretting. If it's not true, well, that is true. A doctor said, no, that's not the truth we're looking at. The truth of the word. We're looking at the truth of the word. God's word is truth. It's absolute truth. So I'm true. The word's true. Whatever is worthy of reverence. I'm not going to bow down to this problem. I'm going to bow down to my Father. I'm going to reverence. So that's what I'm, whatever is just and seemly. So you got to look at that list and say, which one of these am I off-center on? Where am I off-center? Am I doing these things? So sometimes it's good to look at it to just to control your thoughts. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised from the dead. By the way, notice the last few words before I go any further in Philippians 4, 8. Says to fix your minds on them. And that's where you make a decision. You're fixed on it. You're not moving, right? We're going to see that in a minute again. If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, that's anyone born again. Aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind, them set, on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on this earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died. And your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your minds and keep them set. See, who sets my mind on that? I do. It's a decision I got to make. And if I keep it set, it means I don't let the other things come in. I do warfare with it. I do warfare with it. I keep it out. No matter what's going on, I do warfare with it. And sometimes that means when everybody comes to you and says, oh, you poor thing, you don't look very good anymore. How many days do you have left to live? you don't say nothing at all, or you start declaring the word. Your choice. If you want to say, well, yeah, I've only got a, the doctor says. Who cares what the doctor says? You know, the word says, I've got long life. And he satisfies me with it, so I'm agreeing with that. He says, by his stripes I'm healed. I didn't mean to insult you. You didn't, buddy. I'm just going off on the word here. You know, you're declaring what the word says, not accepting what that guy said. So that's how we do warfare with that. So fix our minds on that. Ephesians 4, strip yourselves. I like the way the Amplified says that. In other words, it's saying the same thing. You get rid of it. Strip it. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. You're being deceived. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. God's not going to strip me. I do that. It's the same thing. It's saying be spiritually minded, not cornally minded. It's saying you have that authority. If God tells you to do something in the Word, authority comes with that. The right, the authority, and the ability comes with the commandment. If I say, well, I can't do that, you're lying. You may not want to do it, but you're lying. The commandment says to do it, so the authority, the ability, and the right is there. I have the right to do that. I have the authority and I have the ability because God said it. Okay, so I need to know that. God said be spiritually minded, so I can do that. It says do not fret, so I can do that. The ability to do that's there. I may not know how, but it's there. That makes sense? I wish I could go the rest of it. I'm going to tell you what to read because I can't get to it. I wanted to read all of Colossians 3, 5 through 17, because that, man, it goes back and forth of being carnally minded and spiritually minded. It goes back and forth, especially the Amplified. If you don't have the Amplified Bible, get you one, because you need it. Somewhere, get you an Amplified Bible, because it'll renew you. The Amplified Colossians 3, verse 5 starts, so kill. What's that mean? Strip. Right? So kill, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, and it lists a whole bunch of things, and it goes down to clothe yourself and put on the word and let the word and let peace. These are things that I do to be spiritually minded. What is carnally minded? What I don't concentrate on, what I do warfare with, and what I do instead. It's all listed there. And then Romans 8, 7 through 14 is a good one. It talks about the difference between the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. It breaks it down just like this does in Colossians 3, 5 through 17. And it's 1 Corinthians 10, 12. I love that one. It says there's no sin that is not common to man. The devil cannot do anything that's not common to man. He's limited. We're not. Being carnally minded has a limit, and it takes you to death. Being spiritually minded has no limit. It's not limited. And then that's 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13. And the other one, and I'm going to read this one and then I'll close. It's Hebrews 13, 5. Let's read that one, Nate. Now, it starts off a little funny, but I know why it does it. It says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? I love the way the Amplified puts that. It says, I will not three times, because this is God's intensity. He's intense on this. As far as he's concerned, that's what he does. What am I doing with it? See, that's the question. You know, I don't have to ask God to be with me. Oh, God, please let me know you're here in this circumstance. He's here. He's already here, and he's not going to leave. So if I'm begging him to let me know, how much more do I need? He said it, period. I will not. I will not. So for me to say, please show me you're here, what is that? I'm denying what he said. Am I not? Spiritually minded says, I know you're here. Carnally minded says, show me. You see the difference in the two? So when I'm praying, I never ask God, please go with me. Father, I thank you. You said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. So Father, I thank you. You're right here where I am, going right through this problem with me. And you're teaching me how I need to choose and the steps I need to make. Thank you, Lord. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. See, I got to be so rooted in that, that no matter what the circumstances are, I know that. So I can't speak sideways of that. The enemy wants you to. Oh, he's not. I prove he's with you. If you're God, turn these rocks to stone. No, devil, for it is written, he will never leave me. Father, I thank you for today's message. I thank you for this opportunity that we've had. Lord, thank you. This is only a scratch on the surface.